This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me give a little cash away. I think the loudest person I heard making the confession that we just made a little while, this last confession was Emilio. And so, Melvin, can you give $20 to Emilio for lunch? And then the offering confession, Trinity was the loudest person I heard. So give Trinity $20. Amen. All right. So my clock has already started, but that's okay because that's the way it's supposed to be. All right. We are in a series entitled Let's Be Clear. Let's Be Clear. And this series of lessons is all about pushing back the noise of this world, which wants to take us in the opposite direction of God, and focusing on what really matters, which is God's word. Now, I'm going to read Romans 12 and 1 from the Message translation. That's been our foundational text throughout this entire series. And so it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. He says, instead, here's the big part, class, fix your attention on God. And I think that's what God wants us to do, because it's so easy to be distracted in this life. It's so easy to, you know, be encountered with so many things going on, you know. And so the key is to really fix your attention on God. And if we do that, we'll be changed from the inside out. You know, when we come to Christ, we're not changed from the outside in. We're changed from the inside out. He says, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. So make the changes when you feel Holy Spirit saying, don't do that, go that way. It says, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So this culture wants to tear us down, but God wants to build us up. So during this series, we have been giving you several lessons on what is really important to God. We have been coming from Scripture with different topics on what really matters. And so today, our topic, let's be clear, we need unity. Let's be clear, we need unity. Now, yes, we need unity in the world, but how many know it starts in the church? Like if we can't be unified in the church, how can we expect the world to be unified? And yes, sometimes that means even as the church, you know, and brothers and sisters in Christ, not in just this church, I'm talking about across the body of Christ, sometimes we have to agree to disagree. Isn't that right? Sometimes, you know, you might have a view a little bit different than your brother and sister. How many of you can't fall out over that? You're going to have to agree to disagree and move forward in spite of. Psalms 133 and 1 in the Message translation says, how wonderful. How what, class? Wonderful. How beautiful when brothers and sisters do what? Get along. Man, can't we just all get along? He says, it is like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. And as you see, you know, this is important because everything flows from the head down. He said, it is like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Watch this. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. So the Bible teaches us that when we are in unity, it is the place of the commanded blessing. That's the Message translation. KJV says the place of the commanded blessing, same thing. And so when we're in unity, it is the place of the commanded blessing. When a husband and wife get in unity, there's a commanded blessing. When a family unit gets together in unity, it is a commanded blessing. If you're in business and you get your staff together and y'all are in unity, it becomes a place of the commanded blessing, because when we're doing things God's way, we ought to get God results in our lives. When we're putting God at the top of the list, well, how many know that He will take care of the rest of our list? And so, you know, so we need unity. For a subtopic, you know, we need unity. Or I like to also title this A House United. A House United. And I think that that's what God really wants in our lives. Now, in my house, my personal house, where I live, live, I love the Dallas Cowboys. Y'all already know that, right? I love the Dallas Cowboys. And I mean, you know, but why not? You know, America's team. Everybody wants to be part of something great. Y'all understand. Y'all get it, you know. And so anyways, you know, I love the Dallas Cowboys. But my wife, not so much. So I'm working on it. Little by little, I'm getting her there, all right? She seems to pick a different team every year. You got it? What'd you say? Different players. Yeah, all right. We got CeeDee Lamb. We got Dak. You know, anyways, in the natural, people would call that a house divided. You know, you've got Duke fans and Carolina fans in the house. And, you know, people would call that a house divided, right? You got State fans. You know what I'm saying? But in the natural, that's just football. So how many know we could work it out? Right? But when it comes to the things of God, to the Spirit of God, and even the house of God, you got it. We must not be a house divided, but we must be a house united. Like it is the place of the commanded blessing. Like it is my hope when you woke up this morning, you're like, man, I am going to Without Limits Christian Center, because at Without Limits, we make Jesus big. We don't make a person big, but we make Jesus big. The worship's going to be amazing. The word's going to be amazing. Somebody's going to give their life to Jesus today. Somebody's going to recommit their life to Christ today. Somebody's going to walk in and that spirit of depression is going to be on them. But when they walk out, they're going to realize I am a breakthrough person. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like that is my hope for you. Not that you just come into church. Yeah, I'm just coming to church because it's Sunday. That's the wrong thing. You got it? No, I'm coming to church because we are one big team. You got it? And watch this. And we are in faith that lives are being impacted in an amazing way. We are in faith that we're going to point people to Christ and they are going to live a better life. Like Sunday is fun day. You understand? Like this is the day where if anybody's been going through anything in the week, it comes off of you today. You walk out light. You walk out with joy and peace and comfort, ready to go bear sweat. But ready to go bear hunting with a switch. You got it? Like that's the way it's supposed to be in life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it is the place of the commanded blessing. And we cannot allow the spirit of division to get in. Can I get a big? Amen. Yeah. Because, how many know the devil is just the devil? You got it. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. He doesn't have any new tricks, but he'll make somebody who were friends, you got it, in church, get mad at each other, you know, and then both of them don't want to go to church anymore because they're mad at each other. How many know that's just the devil? Isn't that right? You know, and so we have to understand the importance of exposing the enemy so we can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of our lives. The Bible teaches us that we fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight? Because we win, right? So we don't fight people, we don't fight our brothers and sisters. Hello, somebody. We fight the good fight of faith. Honest with you, we don't even fight the devil. You got it? We don't even fight the devil. What do you mean? He's already defeated. You got it? We already understand we have power over him. You got it? Let me back up when I say that. When I say we don't fight the devil, what I'm saying is, the Bible says, what I'm saying is I don't focus on the devil. Let me say it like that. All right? Let me give you a better word. Because in my mind, when the devil starts acting stupid, I say, man, I ain't fighting with you. Why? I already know that you're powerless. I already know that I've got you. But yes, there's a war going on. You got it. But you have to understand we already have won. So I've got to understand that, listen, I've got to keep the right attitude, which is an attitude of faith. And if I keep the attitude of faith, I understand that I have already won. One big reason why I believe why our church has done so much and so little, you got it, we are 14 years old, isn't that right? We built this facility, phase one, then across the street, we built phase two, you know, with land and pavilion and all kinds of fun stuff for the kids and grown kids across the street. And then we bought next door, got a bunch of acres on the other side, you know, and God has done a lot in our ministry in a little bit of time. I believe that, you know, yes, it is definitely because number one, it's God's will for us to be here. you got it. Just number one. In the early days, people were just trying to figure out how in the world, you know, can they do so good? Like, how in the world, you know? And and one day, ladies, like, well, did anybody ever just think maybe it's because God called us to this city? I mean, maybe it's because His hand is on our lives. Maybe it's because His grace is here, you know. But I also believe it took us coming together in unity. You got it, because it is the place of the commanded blessing. When God's people come together in unity, almost anything can happen. All right. Genesis, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse says, "And the Lord said, behold," the word behold means look, "the people is one and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they imagine to do." Now, I understand, you know, the scripture, you know, and they were trying to go to heaven. And of course, God couldn't let that happen. But you'd have to pull the principle out of here that the people were one. And because the people were one and the people were unified, anything was possible. When a husband and wife are one and unified, anything's possible. When a family unit is unified, anything is possible. When a church is unified, absolutely anything is possible. And so, Pastor wants to give you three simple points today that I'm going to ask you to commit to so we can continue to move forward in unity. This is more of a pastoral lesson today. You know, sometimes there's faith lessons I teach. Sometimes there's evangelistic lessons I teach. Sometimes there's more inspirational messages that I teach. Today, this lesson is more of a pastoral lesson. All right, so point number one, everybody say point number one. Point number one is keep the peace. Keep the peace. Now, I heard that come in and out. I don't know if are you playing around with it in the back or no? No? Okay. All right. Because it was like it was good, and then it came out, and I figured Courtney's like, you just need to let him know. And so that little like it was good, and now it's good again, praise the Lord. So I don't know. Yeah. And then I went out real fast, too. Y'all excuse us. We just having a quick conversation. No, because when it's all over, they're like, well, Pastor, I didn't hear it. I wasn't sure what it was, you know. And so technology is great when it works. And when it doesn't work, we still praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so praise the Lord. So keep the peace. Hebrews 12 and 14. Hebrews 12 and 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Follow peace with all men, not some people, but the Bible says with everybody, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it is the peaceful attitude, watch this, and me striving to live God's way that will give me a clear picture of who God is. Falling out with people affects how you see God. So for no other reason than to have a clear picture of who God is and what He's trying to do in your life, just get along with folks. You understand? Like, I've got this principle that I'm not fighting with nobody. You understand? Like, I'm not fighting with nobody. I'm not going back and forth with anybody. Why? Because God is doing too much in my life for me to get off course. Hello, somebody. And start slowing the blessings down. I don't want to slow them down. I want to make sure that they're continuing to flow in my life. So I'm not fussing with nobody. Can I get a? Amen. I ain't fighting with nobody. Can I get a? Amen. I ain't cussing nobody out. Can I get a? You know, I got to throw that in, because how many know Christians ain't supposed to cuss? Praise the Lord. So he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So there's a grace, watch this, that's available to me when I'm doing it God's way. But watch this. But the grace does not necessarily flow when I'm not doing it God's way. He says, lest any root of bitterness. Now we're talking, we're getting to the root. You ever met somebody mean? Yeah. You know, don't look to the left or the right. Just keep looking at me. You ever met any mean Christians? Yeah. You know, I mean, they be, you know, being in the house of God and, you know, and just holier than thou. You know, bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, worship Him. But get right to the light, and the light turns green, and the car in front of him has not taken. Oh, I got someplace to go. Praise the Lord. But if I was to call right after that, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I'm better than ever. Less any, and so the Bible says the root of bitterness. You got, so there's a root. There's something making you act that way. There's something making you be mean. There's something making you always have an attitude. You know, and so, you know, and so you don't want to be like that. So you have to pray, God, get that out of me. Right? He says, springing up trouble you, watch this, and it affects everybody. Many there be defiled. If you have a bad attitude, it affects everybody. But if you have a good attitude, it affects everybody. Isn't that right? Yeah. So, I mean, y'all wouldn't want me to come up here today and say, turn to Genesis. We're going to talk about, well, I don't know, what y'all want to talk about today? Like, y'all ain't staying here. You might stay for this lesson, but you leaving. You ain't coming. You say, I don't know. Especially you first-time guests. You know, you remember, you might give me one Sunday to get myself together. But let me come back next Sunday doing that. You be like, man, something done happened to the pastor. I don't know what's going on. Something done happened to the pastor. You got it? You know, now, why? Because nobody wants to be around that. You got it? People want to be around people that are full of laughter and joy. You know, life throws enough at you on its own that you don't need all the other stuff. You got it? I want to get around somebody that I can laugh and have some fun. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so we've got to understand, you know, the importance. Hang around people of like precious faith. Hang around people that are going somewhere in life. Hang around people that have goals. Hang around people that just want to be happy. Because I want to just be happy, all right? Yeah, yeah. And so we got to do that. Let me hit some of my bullets because I need to get to my next point. Some of my bullets is, you know, how many know we must stay out of people's business? Yeah, you know, here at Without Limits, we have the principle of everybody, leave everybody loan, not a loan. We country around here. Just L-O-N-E, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Like, stay out of folks' business. Make it a point to stay out of people's lives. Watch this. And never gossip. Never what? Never gossip. I'm not worried about what anybody else is going on in their lives. I'm just trying to take care of my life. I'm just trying to take care of me and make sure that I'm where I need to be in life. Can I get a big amen? There are some people who have PhDs in gossip. I seen her coming now. She ain't been with her husband about 6 weeks now. I don't know. Now, I did see him at the Piggly Wiggly getting him a plate. So I don't know if she just ain't cooking and he mad because he ain't coming. I mean, people just go crazy. And it's like, that ain't none of your business. He could be working overtime and you done got him in divorce court. So stay around folk. Stay away from folk to gossip. If somebody called you, girl, I got to tell you something. Say, no, girl, don't tell me that. Tell me something else, but don't tell me that. Right? The Bible calls those people troublemakers and perverse. Right? Proverbs 16 and 28, the NLT calls them troublemakers. The KJV calls them perverse. It says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. What do you mean plant seeds of strife when you call and say, hey, I want to tell you something? You're planting a seed of strife. All right? Gossip separates the best of friends. So instead, let's love one another and give our brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt. I got one amen. Let's forgive and move on. Even if you feel you were wronged, right? If you're really going to make it in life, you have to develop thick skin. Everybody say, don't be sensitive. You got it. Don't be sensitive. Watch this. Everybody say, be forgiving and be loving. Yeah. Be forgiving and be loving. Be forgiving and be loving. Be forgiving and be loving. And watch God bless your life in ways you can't imagine. So number one is keep the faith. All right. Let's put number two up on the screen. Number two, I said it too early. Keep the peace was number one. All right. Number two, everybody say, keep the faith. All right, keep the faith. Don't lose hope in God and what God is trying to do in your life. I know situations are going to come. I know sometimes, you know, situations will take us back. In the natural, that's okay. I'm not saying that nothing, how do I say this? I understand that sometimes trials and troubles will show up in your life, but I want you to understand that trouble don't last always. Does that make sense? So even when trouble shows up, don't lose hope in God and what he's trying to do in your life. Jeremiah 29 and 11, you already know. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Another translation says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. And so you got to understand that God is minding you. God thinks about you, and what God thinks about you matters most. So just focus on the word. Focus on keeping a good attitude. Focus on setting some goals. And watch this. And even if it's tough, just put one foot in front of the next foot, in front of the next foot, and just keep on going until you get to where you're trying to get to in life. Because you are going to make it. Like you're really going to make it. I don't care if it doesn't look like it, you're going to make it. You are going to get over whatever you're dealing with right now. And when you get over on the other side and you begin to walk in victory, you're going to be glad that you didn't stop in the middle. You got it. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You notice he didn't say, I'm just going to sit there. You got it. He didn't say, I'm going to sulk. He didn't say, I'm going to cry. You got it. And just stay here forever. You got it. Even if you cry, just keep walking with the tears flowing. You got it. And then when you get a little bit closer, dry those eyes, get on the other side of victory. Hello, somebody. And keep moving forward in faith with your life, because your best days are not behind you. Your best days are in front of you. Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. So we already know God's already declared our end from our beginning. He says that we should walk in them, watch this class, living the what? What do we say online? That's right, the good life. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And my whole thing is, if God has already prearranged a good life for me to live, I'm going to release faith so I can live the good life. You got it? What does living the good life have to do with? It has to do a lot with living a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. It has a lot to do with just, you know, allowing the word of God to be, you know, the final authority in my life and not moving from it. It has a lot to do with choosing joy no matter what. You understand what I'm saying? And when you start putting all those things together, God does amazing things in your life, regardless of situations, circumstance, people around you. And so you've got to understand that when you're moving forward in faith and you're trying to keep the faith, you cannot have a flawed criteria. You have to understand that God's word is what it is. If he said it, then watch this. He's going to do it. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. If he says that by the stripes of Jesus, you are already healed. Well, let me just tell you, you are already healed. You might be waiting for it to manifest in the natural, but that's why you've got to walk this faith process out. That's why you got to confess his word and understand that you are already healed. You are already saved. You are already prosperous. You are already blessed. Hello, somebody. And you are already full of joy, because anytime you receive Jesus, you don't just receive who he is, but all that he has. It all comes with him. It's the total package. And so you've got to learn to keep the faith. Give the Lord a big hand praise right there. Don't appraise the possibility of losing when you haven't lost. Why do we do that? That's the trick of the enemy. Anytime you appraise the possibility of losing when you haven't lost, that is just a trick of the enemy to take your mind somewhere. And it's at that moment that you have to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The problem is the enemy will put negative thoughts in our mind and want us to act on them. You got it. And that is why you always have to replace the negative thoughts with the word of God and stay focused to the word of God. I'm always going to do what the word of God says do. Did you hear what this young preacher said? I'm not sometime going, I'm always going to do what the word of God says, because I know if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. All right. And so let's regroup. Let's go back to, we'll put number one on the screen. What's number one, class? All right. Let's put number two on the screen. What's number two, class? All right. And then let's put number three up on the screen. All right. What's number three, class? Keep your commitments. Keep your commitments. And that's real. It should be real easy to do if we really love God. You got it. If you love me, he says that you'll keep my commandments. You got it. You'll do things God's way so you can get God results in your life. And so I need you to keep the peace. I need you to keep the faith. And then I need you to keep your commitments. You know, one thing that pastors around the country, we've all learned, is that the enemy has used this pandemic to really back the believers up, you got it, in their commitment to the things of God. You got it? You know, I get it. There's a time when we needed to not come to church. You understand? And the, you know, we shut down like, you know, like a lot of, you know, people did and those kind of things. And those things were important. But how many of there's a time we should come back together? Doesn't that make sense? You know, we going everywhere now, y'all. We going to Walmart and Lowe's and on vacation, you know, and everywhere. Certainly, we should not make an excuse not to come into the house of God. Does that make sense? You got it. And I'm not fussing. I mean, Pastor's not mad about anything. Church is doing great. And that's the problem. You got it. It's not about whether the church is doing great. It ain't even about the church. It's about you. And that you need to come in. You need that worship. You need the contact with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You got it. You need to be in the house of God. The Bible talks about the power of the place. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord and one place. You got it. Now we've got partners and family all over the country. Some of them can't be in New Bern. So we get that. You got it. But there are people that can be in the house of God, and they need to be in the house of God. And watch this. If they are your friends, it is your job, whether you believe it or not, because y'all are supposed to be accountable to one another. Say, okay, sis, it's time to get on back. Okay, bro, I'll see you at church on Sunday. You got it? Because it is important, you know, because we you know, if we're not careful, we move to a strong commitment to convenience commitment. Oh, online is good. I still hear Pastor teaching. He does a great job online too. Yeah, but nothing replaces coming in the house of God. Watch this. And there's some things that you can do in here that you can't do online. You got it? The Bible teaches us how important serving is. You got it? Like, we're going to get back to our 11 o'clock, you know, I'm sorry, our 9 a.m. kids ministries right now. We just have 11 kids having a big candy palooza at the 11 o'clock across the street at Max Place and those kind of things. And so we're doing all kind of things. But look, we're going to need our dream team to go back to the way it was. Does that make sense? You know, and so, but it's my job to teach you, you got it. And one of the things I have to remind you is to keep your commitment. Keep your commitment to the things of God. You got it. Keep your commitment to the house of God. Keep your commitment to your man and woman of God. Those things are very important. You know, it's a Pastor's Appreciation Month. And I don't know. I just kind of feel like y'all appreciate me all the time. I feel like you appreciate Lady all the time. I don't necessarily bring someone in for that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. A lot of pastors do it. I was somewhere last week preaching because it was a Pastor's Appreciation Month. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think that I have taught you in a way where you understand the importance of your man of God. You got it? You understand the importance of your woman of God and being committed, watch this, not just to us, but to the things of God. You got it? But I'm going to give you a quick past appreciation lesson in about 3 minutes, all right? Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So God has given you, WLCC, Pastor James and Lady LeConte, you got it, to as gifts to encourage you, instruct you, comfort you, help you, and even correct you so you can live an amazing life. Does that make sense? Most people have the wrong idea of what their pastor is to be in their lives. You got it? The ultimate thing that Lady LeConte and I have to do, we have to teach the word, we have to live the word, and we have to love the people. You got it? And I think we do a very good job at teaching the word, living the word, and loving the people. You know, the average believer discounts the importance of having pastors in their lives. You got it? One thing that I tell people, never compare yourself to Lady LeConte and I. Compare how better your life has been after getting connected to this church. Does that make sense? When you come and say, man, my life has gotten better. That's the key, all right? So the writer says that you be not slothful, but Hebrews 6:12, but followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Most people who don't know me think I'm an overnight success, and I tell them it was a long night. Yeah, yeah. Most people don't know what you go through to get to where you are. You got it. I served my pastor faithfully for years, cut his grass, washed his cars, sowed into his life big time. You got it. I mean, you know, this is a 3-minute lesson, so I can't, you know, get into a whole lot. But, you know, most of you all know our story. God blessed Lady and I in businesses long before we ever came to Without Limits. We were millionaires long before we ever came to Without Limits. So when we came, we were not trying to get something from somebody. You got it. We were trying to teach you you the word of faith so you can live the same amazing life that we're living. Does that make sense? And we have seen that happen. You got it. People's lives just keep getting better and better and better. And that's the goal. You got it. That's the goal. So when we tell you about our blessed life, it's not telling you so we can act like we, you know, better than somebody. No, it's to show you that God is no respecter of persons. He is only respecter of faith. So what he does for one in principle, he'll do for another. You got it. And so if God, watch this, calls us to living an amazing life, he'll cause you to live an amazing life. Does that make sense? Amen. So I found some principles in the Word of God that taught me that if I served, if I sowed, if I sacrificed, and if I was settled, I would see the supernatural in my life. And so I admonish you to serve in the house of God. Get on the dream team in some area. I admonish you to sow and give of your tithes and of your offerings on a regular basis. I admonish you to sacrifice. You know, next year we have a big giving day one time a year. You got it. It typically is in the month of March. Isn't that right? Yeah. And you already know, you know, when March is over, you got a whole another 12 months to get ready for it. Isn't that right? Yeah. But that's a sacrificial seed. That's one time a year when we give over and above, you know, our normal offerings. I don't think this year, this entire year, we've said, hey, we need something extra. Isn't that right? No. Now we've done a whole lot of extra stuff. Oh yes, we have. You got it. But watch this. We were able to do it with the resources that already have come in. And so a lot of times we say, hey, remember I said we built a house in Haiti for somebody and it cost, I don't know, several $1,000s. Well, we already did that with the resources that came in because big giving came in and we're able to use that, you got it, to do other things. And so sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention and it causes him to move in your life. So we do this one time a year and sacrifice as a family and set ourselves in faith for God to do supernatural things. So I served, I sowed, I sacrificed, and then I was settled. Everybody say settled. We live in a time where everybody want to run everywhere. You got it. And you got to learn how to be settled. Can I go a little further? Even if pastor just teach one thing on one Sunday that you didn't like, thank God the other 51 weeks you liked his lesson. Just stay settled. Isn't that right? Like it wasn't like pastor was coming at you trying to attack, and I'm looking at you, and the Bible said, you need to quit being slothful, Like that ain't even my nature. You got it? Someone had gotten upset with me, and I didn't even know why. And they said I made a comment, and I was like, man, I don't even know. I had to go back and listen to the thing because that had nothing to do, you know, with my lesson. And so what am I saying? Pastor's human. Praise the Lord. And I may say something that sometimes not even on purpose, I said something about them Cowboys. Y'all know I was just playing, right? But if you're not careful, you, man, I'm sick and tired of him talking about them stinking Cowboys. You understand? We got to go home, Corey. Let's play something metacrational. We got to go home, play something metacrationally. You know, and so a lot of times I think I'm just having fun. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's why Lady LaConte and I are down here every Sunday. Why? So you can come down and hug our necks and talk to us and get to know us. And the more you get to know us, you realize, man, they just good people that like to have a good time. Does that make sense? You know, for a long time, we weren't going outside and those kind of things. We were just trying to be respectful because, you know, social distancing, you know, it was necessary. Although we really want to be out there hugging your necks and seeing you and those kind of things. And I believe, thank God, we're now moving back to the point where we can do all those kind of things, you know. But we want to be close to y'all. We want to see you. We want to hug your neck. We want to talk to you. You got most of the brothers in this room have my cell phone. If you don't, you can get it. You got it? Like that's the kind of pastor I want to be. I want to be the kind of pastor that's reachable. Like, you don't need to get through 7 people to come to me. You can get right to me. Does that make sense? Amen. And so, let me give you this last thing, and then I'm gone. Giving this to you because you've heard me thank you almost every week because this particular October, I'll just be honest with y'all. We don't say much about October because y'all really, really, really good to us on our birthdays. I'm just being serious. Like, when I say really good, if Brother Man says really good means Really good. Like a whole lot of y'all write us a bunch of big checks on our birthday. I'm just being very honest with you. You got, and I'm not saying that try to pit one against another. I'm just being honest. So that lady LaConte and I said, babe, let's not push people. You know, we don't push you on our birthdays, you know, but let's not pressure anybody, because why? We're just thankful. We're just thankful to God for everything He's already done in our lives. And that's a key that I want you to learn, how to be thankful. You got it? Make sure you don't ever try to go overboard, or make sure that you don't ever try to push somebody or use somebody, because that's not God's plan for our lives. Our God's plan for our lives is to be grateful and to work His word, and He will bless us. You got it? So that way we can be a blessing. And then when we're a blessing, God blesses us again. And so we keep on being a blessing. So God blesses us again so we can keep on being a blessing. Does that make sense? So I keep teaching you this, and then it came to me last week. You know, I wanted to give you scripture on sowing into our lives, especially if we have new members that have never heard that. And like, well, why should we give to the pastor and those kind of things? It's not something that's required. You got it. Tithing and giving offering. Now, that's required. We see that in the scripture. So anytime you give a pastor's offering, that's just something that you wanted to do over and above. You got it. Just because you wanted to be extra good to us. Does that make sense? Galatians 6:6 says, let him who